Right. Good morning. You take your Bibles and turn to 2 Chronicles, chapter 15. Once you find your place there, if you're able to stand, if you would stand for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to start in verse 1. Second Chronicles 15, verse 1. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words, and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim and renewed the altar of the Lord and was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa, and they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we turn to your word now, as we look into it, I pray, Father, that you would speak to each one of us personally. We're looking at the double life of King Asa here. And Father, there's many, many, many who will start out faithful and then they turn, go a different direction. I pray, Father, that that would not be said of us, that we would continue to be faithful, that we would be found faithful when the Lord returns. And I pray, Father, that you would guide us and direct us through this time. Give me the very words to preach. Will not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Many, many make the mistake that the things in the Old Testament are not for today. Many make that mistake, and even preachers in their sermon preparation, they will preach from the New Testament because they don't feel the Old Testament's important. The way I look at it is, if it wasn't important, God wouldn't have given it to us. You know, people say, well, you know, there's all those genealogies and all that stuff, and why can't we just pass over that? Because that stuff means something. God didn't give it to us because it wasn't important. He gave it to us because it was important. He wants us to know this stuff. And so many of them feel that the New Testament is not pertinent to today's congregations. I got news for you. It's all pertinent. When God called me to preach, he said, preach the whole counsel, not just what I like. And I got news for you. There's times when I can stand up here and I can say, wow, I'm really liking having to preach this message. This one's an easy one. And then there's times when I go, ooh, this one's going to rub some people the wrong way and I'm going to get the backlash for it later. Either way, it's the Word of God. And I will say this, if something steps on your toes, it's probably because they needed to be. And if you got a problem with the Word of God, then take that up with God. I can't change it. All I can do is preach what He's given me. And so, much of the Old Testament did deal, very much so, with Israel and the ceremonial laws that were given to them. And a great deal of it is for us today. Let's not just discard it. Let's understand what it is. There's some examples that we can find in Scripture and all. And I like what Paul penned. Paul said, there are some things that we can learn from those people that lived before us that are mentioned in the Bible. There's some things we can learn there. And so we need to know that. Turn over real quick to Romans 15 and verse 4, please. Paul penned this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Romans 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. These things were written for us to know. I always say it's easier if we would learn from others' mistakes, because when we make them, we get to pay the consequence. When they made them, they got to pay the consequence. If we would learn from that, we wouldn't have to face the consequence of doing the same things they did. We can serve God faithfully year after year after year after year after year and then turn our back on God. And we, from the Scriptures, can see what happens when we do that. And say, you know, I don't think I want any part of that. Or we can do our own thing and suffer the consequences like everyone else has. The Old Testament, kind of similar to our history books, right? It gives us the history. It gives us stuff that we can read about. We can read about the good things and we can read about the bad things. But there's history there. And we can learn by their defeats and we can learn by their successes if we'll study it and understand that God will punish sin. He has to. He's a righteous God. He has to punish sin. It's filled with all kinds of examples of people we can learn from. You'll say, well, we don't need it. I tell you, I get such joy, I guess, is a good word for it, just reading about Joseph and all Joseph went through, and he still had a heart for God. Joseph is one of those people that you'd think, man, if anybody could have said, I'm done, could not Joseph have done that? All that he went through? And I think people, and they... You know, something happens that they don't like and they turn their back and run from God. Joseph had every reason to do that, and yet he stood faithful with God. It says, it doesn't matter what we're going through, God, and God got him through it. And God used him in a mighty way, by the way. So we have this case with King Asa of Judah. From his life, we can see both good and bad. His was a life of faithfulness. His was a life of foolishness. Not through the whole life, obviously, but that something changed. We don't want our lives to be known as a life of foolishness. I mean, you don't want to be there at the end of your life and say, boy, he or she lived a foolish life. That's not what we want. But we can learn here from Asa's foolishness and his faithfulness. So first of all, we have the faithfulness of this servant. We are told that for 41 years he reigned over Judah. Look at 1 Kings. First Kings 15. We're going to look at verses 9 and 10 of 1 Kings 15. And in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah, and 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishom. 35 of those years he was a God-fearing man. 35 of 41. And we would, as humans, say, put that on the scale, and 35 is pretty good. I mean, that's only 6 years that he wasn't so faithful, right? Boy, that's not so bad. 35 years he was faithful. But what does the Bible tell us? It's required in a steward that he be found faithful. Not that we start faithful, not that we continue faithful, but we be found faithful. I'm done with this. We can all probably go back in our lives and say, man, we know people who are on fire for God, and today they're nowhere to be seen. What happened? They gave up. They threw in the towel. Things get tough, right? Let me just be the spoiler alert here. God never said that life was going to be easy street as soon as you became a Christian. Once you become a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, life does not become easy street. I will tell you this, it will be easier because Christ is going through it with you. The Holy Spirit is there guiding you. You've got the Father, God the Father indwelling in you. You've got all these things to help you through day by day by day by day. But Jesus said they hated him, they're going to hate us. They persecuted him, they're going to persecute us. So what made us think that this was going to be easy street? Now, let me just say, as my mom gave me a little deal that's hanging in my office at home, serving God may pay little, but the retirement benefits are out of this world. I'm telling you, one day, we're going to say, all this stuff that we went through down here was minuscule. And compare that to all the glorious time we're going to have for all eternity. 35 years, he was a God-fearing man. And God blessed Judah because of him. Boy, when we get a good man leading the nation, boy, we want him to be able to stay in office forever, don't we? I mean, we want him to live his whole life in that office, and until he passes on, we want him holding that office. But you get a bad man in office, and one day seems like an eternity, and you can't wait to get him out. 35 years, he trusted the Lord to help him to be one of Judah's greatest kings. 35 years. Trusting in God is something that we're taught we're supposed to do. Not because we have to, but because we want to. And let me just say this, we need to. We need to trust him. So what is trust in God? Simply means reliance upon him only. What are we trusting in? Are we trusting in God and him alone? Sometimes I wonder. We're not trusting in ourselves or in fellow man. I know a lot of people are trusting in the man in the White House. Got news for you, that's the wrong place. My trust is in somebody that supersedes the man in the White House. The one my trust is in, put that man in the White House, according to the Word of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Therefore, we need to rely on Him and Him alone. I wish I had the name of the man who did this, because he should get credit for this illustration, but as he got ready to prepare a sermon, he stopped and bowed his head and prayed, "Lord, I have a text, I have an idea, I have a mind, I have hands, I have a computer, I have a time set aside to prepare this sermon without interruption." Then he prayed this prayer, "Lord, if I rely on these things, these good things that you yourself have given me, then what the people will get on Sunday morning will be what a man can produce. And Lord, they don't need another man-made thing. They live with man-made things and ideas all week long. What your people need, what I need, is something beyond what man can make, something supernatural from you. So I now renounce reliance on these things. I renounce reliance on them and look to you and ask that in and under and over and around and through all these good things, you would work so deeply and so decisively and so graciously that what I say on Sunday would not be the work of mere man, but the work and the word of God." I thought that was really good. I've said over and over and over, if we rely on ourselves, yeah, we could put something together. We could get up here and stumble through it. But if we rely on Almighty God and allow Him to give us a word, then we can present that word and not make a mess of it. What this man had to say, that is reliance on God. Not trusting in self, but relying on God. It's obvious today that a lot of preaching and teaching and singing in our churches are based on the talents of men and women. But if we're going to be effective for the Lord, if we're going to truly do what we need to learn to totally rely on Him, to trust Him, not on the talents of men, but on the Lord Jesus Christ. King Asa was a man, for most of his life, he trusted in God. He looked to God for things. In 2 Chronicles, chapter 14, verse 2, 2 Chronicles 14, 2 says, "And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God." He loved the Lord. It was his desire to see Judah also love the Lord in the same manner. He was a godly king, and he had a clear disdain for false, idolatrous worship practices. Three things in his life that we need to consider. First one, look at 2 Chronicles 14:3. Says, "For he took away the altars of the strange gods in the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves." And look at verse 4. "And commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment." Then turn over to 16 and verse 15. Got that wrong too. 16. Sorry, I got those reversed. "And also concerning Micah, the mother of Asa the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove And Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burned it at the brook Kidron. He had great faith in God for 35 years. He had complete trust in God for all his daily affairs. I remember years ago in my real estate career, I met a man and he'd been married 49 years. He and his wife had a great relationship and she got dementia. She thought he was trying to kill her. She found an attorney and got a restraining order against her husband and all, and she told the judge, she said, "Judge, he's trying to poison me through the vents in my house." And the judge said, "Is she living there? Is he living there with you?" And she said, "Yes." He said, "Then if he poisons you through the vents in the house, he's going to poison himself." So as the judge followed through, he said, "We need to find out what's up with this lady. Something's not quite all there." Turned out, she ended up with dementia, filing for divorce against her husband after 49 years. She threw in the towel, gave up. Asa threw in the towel, gave up. 35 years of following God, trusting God. No more. We need to be careful that we're not so easily ready to give up following God, trusting God. We have a tendency as we go on, and I've heard it from several people, used to be members here, they left and they said, "I'm just burnt out." Burnt out on what? Burnt out on God? His mercies are new every morning. What's going on that we get burnt out with a God that gives us so much, that does so much for us? And let me just throw this out. If all he did was save us, that would be enough. It'd be over the top enough. But no, he's done so much more for us. One of the greatest battles in the history of mankind took place when King Asa and Zerah, the Ethiopian. It was a great battle because Zerah had an army of 1 million men and hundreds of chariots. 300 chariots. How did Judah defeat this great army? Well, of course, it was their own strength, right? It was their own ability. They did all that, right? No, King Asa's prayer reveals that his trust in God is what brought about the victory. 2 Chronicles 14, verse 11. Second Chronicles 14:11, "And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, and we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee." That sounds like someone who's sold out for God, who knows that God is the only place he's going to get help. The only one that's going to be able to bring victory to this battle is God. He gets it. But something changed. Look at chapter 15 and verse 2. It says, "And he went out to meet Asa, and unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you." You know, we say, we quote all the time, God will never leave us nor forsake us. But what happens when we forsake him? What was said to King Asa here could be said to each one today. when it comes to receiving the rich blessings of God in our lives, if we forsake Him, He will forsake us. He's not going to bless a man or a woman who is not trusting in Him. Then we see the foolishness of this servant. There's many things we can say about this man who reigned for 41 years. It's a long time. But it's unbelievable how some people can live such a good life for such a long time and do great things and then take that same life and mess it up. We hear about a good husband or a good wife and they're faithful in their marriage vows for many years and then one day, one of them decides that they're going to break those vows, destroying all the good things in their life. Sometimes we hear about someone who made wise investments their whole life. I remember when I rolled over a retirement account when I left employment, I rolled it over and they said, "What do you want to put it into?" I said, "Ultra conservative." They said, "Well, there's conservative and there's low risk and there's moderate risk and there's high risk." And I said, "When I said ultra conservative, I meant ultra conservative." So we put it there, and years later I was talking to my brother who put money into a retirement thing that he rolled into, and he said his was doing really well. And I said, "Mine's just kind of plodding along, not doing much at all." And he said, "Well, what are you into?" I said, I told him, "Ultra conservative." And he said, "Well, you got to take some risk if you want to get any gain." So I went and saw my investment manager and I said, "What if I take just a little bit of that and put it in just a little bit of risk?" So we did that and that helped it grow some. But then there was a downturn and almost lost it all. And I said, "You know, I never put anything into it. Whatever I get out of it is more than I had. And God will see to it that when we need it, it'll be there. We've just been trusting God all these years. And I haven't changed it again. Just letting God do whatever God wants to do with it." But there's some that will move everything into high risk and lose everything. They don't understand. It's a gamble. You invest that money, it may not be there in the future. So you have to be careful. I said I didn't want to touch it and pay taxes on it and all, so I just left it there. My accountant said, "Leave it there till you're 70 and then draw out what they require you to draw out every year." Okay. We hear about faithful pastors that serve the Lord and then foolishly destroy everything with a bad choice. Christians faithfully serving in churches for years and years and years, wonderful testimonies and all, and then they become unfaithful and completely destroy their testimony. It's what King Asa did. 35 years. He faithfully served the Lord for 35 years and then made the decision to throw it all away. He made two big mistakes. His greatest mistake was when Baasha, king of Israel, began to oppress Judah. He didn't trust in God to deliver Judah as he had done for 35 years. You would think when you go to God and you say, "God, you're the one that can make this happen. You can deliver with many or few. I'm just trusting in you. And then the next battle comes along and you forget all about what God did. It happens to us. God gives us the victory, and the next time we have an issue in our life, we forget all about God bringing us through it. And then we turn elsewhere for help. He turned to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, for help. How did he get him to help? Well, he said, we'll just take the silver and gold out of the treasure house of the Lord and give it to him for assistance. Let me just say, he could have turned to God, not given up the silver and gold of the treasure house of the Lord, and God would have brought him through it. But instead, he decided, no, I'm going to go to Ben-Hadad. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to pay him to help us. And we're going to forget all about God. Hanani the seer spoke these stunning words to King Asa in 2 Chronicles 16, verses 7 through 9. It says, and at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. Verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. All he had to do was continue to rely on God. And instead, he decided he didn't need to rely on God, and now he's got continual wars. How did he react to this news? He didn't react in a way that would please the Lord. In 16 verse 10, it says, then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing, and Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. How did God react to King Asa's reactions? Look at verses 12 and 13. It says, and Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. They say, well, yeah, God doesn't do that anymore. Really? Careful. He can very much do that still today. There would be war from then on. He didn't like Hananiah's message. There's a lot of people who don't like the message of the messenger that God has sent. They blame the messenger. No, it's not my message, it's the Lord's message. Don't blame the messenger. You got a problem with the message, it's going to be because you have a problem with the heart. It's a heart issue. It needs to be right with God. But they had wars from then on. In a rage, he puts Hanani into prison. But putting him into prison didn't change anything. You know, trying to silence the man of God is not going to change the word of God. And the second biggest mistake came when King Asa became diseased in his feet due to his disobedience. It said his disease was exceedingly great. Still, even with this disease, King Asa would not turn to the Lord. You would think that at some point he would have said, I know where I can get help. I know if I turn back to God, he'll take care of this. But no, he decided the physicians was the right place to go. Let's trust in the physicians instead. Now let me say, our health is one of the greatest blessings that God gives us. And sometimes he has to take it from us. He has to do that in order to get our attention. This great king faithfully served the Lord. Now he's become stubborn and rebellious. It's tragic when someone becomes stubborn and rebellious. He didn't want to do what was right any longer. He just wanted to give excuses why he wouldn't repent. I can tell you, there's no good excuses. People have excuse after excuse after excuse why they're not going to serve God, why they're not going to put him first, why they're not going to trust him. God's heard them all. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. It's because there's nothing new under the sun. God's heard every excuse known to man. Well, I'd be there, but it's football season, right? You can't be in church when football's on, because even though God created the DVR so you can watch them after, it's not the same as watching it as it's happening, right? Well, let me take it one step further. It's not the same as actually being in the stadium watching it then. But how many people are going to do that week after week after week after week after week? They're full. I get it. At the cost of probably hundreds of thousands of dollars going out the door a year to be in those stadiums. Why can't you watch it later? These excuses. My favorite is, I'm going to have a hangnail next Sunday. I'm going to have to be out of church. How do you know you're having a hangnail next Sunday? And why did a hangnail prevent you from being in church? See, people have all kinds of weird excuses, and they think God's going to buy into it. Nope, God's not. And let me just say, if he had diseased Asa, why couldn't he not disease us? Sometimes the best way to convince a man he is wrong is to let him have his own way. And some people's minds are like concrete, thoroughly mixed and permanently set. They just don't care. That seems to be where King Asa was at. He was a man that was led of God for 35 years. Now he's become stubborn and rebellious. He lost his health due to disobedience to God. A lot of people think, if they get a good doctor, they take the right vitamins, minerals, herbs, eat properly and exercise regularly, they can live forever. Let me just say this. These bodies are not designed to live forever anymore. I believe wholeheartedly that was God's intent in the beginning. Till sin came into the world. In the life of Asa, we see that you can do all these things when you disobey God. And God might have to get your attention the hard way. King of Judah, Asa, looked to the physicians without seeking God's purposes, and he died in misery. There is no disease without a cause. It might be from neglect of exercise, it might be from neglect of nutrition, it might be neglect of rest, but also it might be the result of God saying, enough is enough. And God will send judgment on a person. Some people don't realize it's because God sends judgment that they're going through things. They refuse to acknowledge that God can do that. We have people walking around blaming bad things on their lack of nutrition and the lack of exercise, but many times maybe it's just God trying to get their attention. Maybe God's just using some tough love. Health is a priceless possession, yet many of us are careless with it. So often we don't appreciate health until we lose it. Then we make every effort to recover it. It's a gift from God, and it's to be used for His purposes, for which we are responsible to Him as stewards. He's given us these bodies. We're supposed to be good stewards with the things that God's entrusted us with. Because it's the most valuable thing we have, sometimes because of our disobedience, God has to take it from us. But even that does not always cause everyone to turn back to God. In the life of Asa, we can see two things. We can see his faithfulness, 35 years following the Lord, trusting in God, serving, being obedient. And then foolishness of this servant. 6 years of foolishness. And God gave him a disease and he died miserably. We need to learn from his faithfulness so that we don't have to learn the hard way. See what he did when he was faithful to God and stay on that path. Don't turn our backs on God. But before we're too quick to condemn him, which we are usually, right? We're ready to condemn those who have done wrong. Must be careful, because in condemning him, we condemn ourselves also. Have to be careful. Let's not live our lives in such a way that's pleasing to God and then one day just turn from all that, change and go a different direction. Leave God behind and say, I'm done. I can't imagine wanting to do that when you've been faithfully serving him and all. I mean, I get it. I did it, 16-year-old kid, because of the way people treated other people in the church. And I said, if this is how God's people treat God's people, I don't want any part of it. I blamed God for what man was doing. When I wised up, I realized it's not God's fault. People do what people do, and people are going to do what they're going to do, because people are people. It's not God's fault. We need not blame God for what people are doing. We need to trust Him. Wholly lean on Him and never give up, never throw in the towel. Continue to serve Him even when things get tough, and they're going to get tough. Got some emails this last week, pastors being arrested for preaching the Word of God in the United States of America. Said, then preach all the way to prison, right? And preach in the prison. Just keep trusting God. He'll take care of us. But as we see with King Asa, when he forsook God, God forsook him. Let's not be like King Asa. Let's pray.